Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
We have had a tumultuous fortnight since America and Israel decided to bomb Iran. Commodities, bonds, equities have all been impacted and the global economy has been turned on its head. I thought that as we approach the end of the second week of this conflict, it might be wise to break down the impact of this war on important sectors. And to help me do that, I have Simon McAllister, a partner with EY, sitting in front of me. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, Joe.
Let's start with the obvious one, commodities, and let's start with oil. We know that the price of a barrel of oil is around $100 per barrel, but it's not just oil. Oil is the kind of the well-known bit. A lot of stuff happens that is now there's a choke point in that Gulf area, Strait of Hormuz, obviously. What should we now be watching out for when it comes to oil and oil-derived products?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, oil is the foundation of so many different products in the economy, lots of chemicals and chemical-related products that come from it. But the oil benchmark price is what drives all of those. So that's why we look at that headline. We look at the volumes that come through from the oil price. So, you know, yesterday again was very volatile. We had a 9% increase in the price of oil yesterday. We have had a big release or an announcement of a release from global stocks of about 400 million barrels, which is a huge, huge release. It's the biggest they've ever...
Strategic petroleum reserve?
Strategic reserves in lots of different countries. Yeah. So it's a coordinated response. And to give a sense of context, the first Gulf War in 1991, that was a 17 million barrel release.
Gosh.
So we're at multiples of that. Ukraine, the Ukraine war, they announced a release of 200 million barrels to try and calm markets. So it's double the response to the Ukraine one. So we'll see if that has much of an impact as we go through the day. The other big announcement on the oil price piece is an attempt from the US to try and calm markets by releasing the sanctions on Russian oil.
So that is going to drive Europeans ballistic.
Yeah, it's a
also the 400 million barrels. That's about 4 days of global supply of oil. It's not a huge
amount. It's not huge, no. I mean, part of
these, that would be released over a few weeks.
It'd be released over time, yeah. So, look, as always, some of these are about the substance of it in terms of the real physical stocks, and some of it is about the signal that it sends.
Yeah.
And the signal is important that it's showing that there is A, coordination, and that B, those big oil countries who hold those big stocks are taking this really seriously to try and calm markets.
Now, an oil-derived product or that is, oil is involved in is fertilizer and urea. Yeah. Those prices have gone mad in the last few days, and that is going to have a major concentric circle impact for us potentially here in Ireland.
Yes, it will. I mean, when we think about the way a barrel of oil breaks down, we have lots of different products. We think about oil, or we think about oils, we think about diesel, but then we have all of these byproducts that come off. And urea is one of the biggest ones. We have about 30% of global urea comes from the Middle East, because it comes directly from refining and from oil and gas. So urea then is such a key input into fertilizer. And fertilizer, depending on the time of the year, and it's important for us here with spring planting, is the time when a lot of farmers are buying fertilizer and starting to spread it, assuming ground conditions allow, which is difficult here with all the rain we have.
Yeah.
So we have that impact of fertilizer being bought at high prices, which feeds into the embedded cost of what's going into the ground, which is going to feed into the cost of what will go into the product cost once that gets processed and put into, you know, whether it's bread or any other product that we would make from it.
So tomatoes, cucumbers, you know, turnips, whatever it is, they're going to be that tiny bit more expensive across the board.
They will. And it's why, you know, when the economists are looking at the analysis of this, that the stagflation part is the big fear, because we're going to see this reduction in global growth, but we'll see this inflation coming through on a very widespread basis across the economy, and food being a big one we're touching on there. And the issue is that it's quite protracted. So, you know, fertilizer costs are elevated now, but lots of merchants have bought fertilizer, if we think about that product specifically. They've bought that at previous prices, so there will be a temporary reprieve as people buy at previous prices.
Weeks,
but they're buying ahead.
Or months.
It depends how much people have bought ahead. So right. Speaking to some of our agri clients, they've bought part of the stock that they need for the spring, but only part of it. So it depends. They might have a week or 2 weeks supply, and they'll already now be buying ahead at these elevated prices, which will be in store, you know, in a couple of weeks, which will be in the ground then in a couple of months.
And of course, stagflation is stagnant growth and relatively high inflation. How well placed are we in Ireland to deal with that? I mean, politically, of course, the government will come under pressure to do to support individuals when it comes to fuel prices. But the economy here is cash rich at the moment, so it could be able to deal with it.
We are well placed. I mean, certainly from a state point of view, the, you know, we're in the very, very lucky position that we have a state that is well funded in terms of debt, well invested in terms of our plans to commit a lot of that surpluses to investments. The problem is, the we go back to the inflation part, it's such a long-running problem. Like, we've been dealing with inflation now post the Ukraine conflict, and it's taken how long to get it under control? Mm. And inflation is that very sticky problem. So once it goes up, central banks are then fighting to get it back down again, and we're dealing with a protracted period potentially to get inflation back down if it does tick up very quickly as a result of this.
Yeah. Now, staying with kind of the unintended consequence of this Iran war, two things come to mind. Sulfur and helium. And helium is especially important for the semiconductor sector. And we have a bit of that here in this country as well.
We do. I mean, it's a good example of the kinds of niche products. And a bit like, you know, post the Ukraine conflict, a realization of things like critical earths and minerals, these very rare things that most people don't have an idea of what they go into. And they can be quite small quantities, but very key to the functioning of pretty, you know, complex or high value products. And helium is a good example. So helium is a byproduct of the gas process, gas processing process. The helium market is quite small, but quite lucrative. So it's a very high value one. The problem with them as well is there's very little substitutes to helium in terms of the processes that it gets used in. So
it cools during the chip manufacturing sector.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not many others that they can use as an alternative to replace it. So you're stuck with it. There's very little storage capacity for it in comparison to some other industrial gases. So the disruption impact from helium is quite quick and it's quite severe. And it does, as you say, it goes into things like semiconductors. It's used in MRIs. So it's used in lots of high-end machinery.
So Intel in LeakSlip will be watching that very carefully, won't they?
I'm sure they will, and a lot of medical device companies as well.
Yeah, and sulfur?
Sulfur is probably a slightly different one. So it's a much larger market, much lower margin. There's some limited substitutes, but you know, not great. There's a bit more storage capacity. And so the disruption impact there is slower, but it's a steadier one because it's harder to get it back. Sulfur is used in fertilizer. It's used in things like batteries. It's used in industrial acids. So we think about those acids being used in lots of different processes to make lots of different products. You can see how the impact starts to spill out quite quickly across the economy.
I've mentioned some of the physical commodities that are impacted by this war. Any non-physical, any white-collar industries that could be impacted?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're seeing firms, professional services firms and banks across the Gulf countries closing offices this week, actually.
So HSBC, Standard Chartered.
Yeah, a number of them, a couple of professional services firms as well in our industry. So that's a clear indication that locally firms are taking the view that this conflict is not going to end in the
anytime
immediate
soon.
Term and that they need to put the safety of their staff first and close those offices. We're still dealing with a lot of corporate impact from staff being stranded in the wrong country. So people who were either in the Middle East or maybe they were in Africa or in India and planning to transit back through Dubai or Abu Dhabi through the big hubs, that they are still stranded and struggling to get home due to lack of capacity. So that brings obviously a personal disruption, corporate disruption, creates issues for people with visas, potentially tax issues as well. So that's an impact people are still managing.
Talent disruption for the company.
Talent disruption as well.
Simon, thanks so much for joining us and have a great weekend. That's Simon McAllister, a partner with EY.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.